You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this has been, you know, we've had nine MMP elections, right? But this MMP government has been more honest with regard to what the country actually asked for when they voted for MMP. So what's been most radical about it? One of the things that New Zealand First has pushed back on is the phrasing that the Nats and the media keep using, which is Labor-led, all right? And now, why do they use that phrase? And why did, you know, and I've articulated it before, when we were in negotiations, I was quite surprised that the Labor Party didn't bring in a whole lot of stuff. Like, they brought in a few topics, but they didn't bring in as many topics as, I mean, I took 300 pages of policy into those negotiations, right? And they didn't bring in so much stuff. And I couldn't figure that out. And then I finally did recently, talking to one of their senior members. And it was because they believed, as the National Party believes, that the minor parties, when they sign an agreement, a coalition agreement or supply and confidence agreement with a major party, are agreeing 100% with the major party's manifesto. That's what they believed. So it's sort of like a hangover from first past the post. We're the big guys, so therefore you have to agree with us, but we'll give you a few things that you can hang your hat on, right? That's absolutely not what we thought we were negotiating. And we, you know, we understood that they could not govern without us. And that was the same for the Green Party. You know, the three of us rely on, or you know, the three parties to govern. So
it seems a bit late in the show to realise that you were negotiating from different starting points.
Well, no, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it created that attitude, created friction at the beginning of the government. I mean, we sorted it out, don't get me wrong, because we sat down and we talked it through. But I guess I hadn't had it as clearly articulated as that until very recently. And it actually doesn't matter that it's a bit late. It's a lesson for the next negotiations. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did my negotiations fine. I'm talking about the bit of difficulty that they had because they were coming from, like, we used to have the, you know, the Labor Party members stand up in the House. If you go back and have a look at the early part of 2018, they would stand up and talk about a Labor government or a Labor-led government. And then we had to keep reminding them that that's not what this is. This is an MMP government. So the language started to change.
Is Labor, because I mean, if you look at it from the outside, it does seem like a Labor-led government. You have a Labor Prime Minister, and you have a Labor majority in within this coalition government.
But what does led mean?
Okay.
Does that mean,
well, so I guess she's at the head, right? She's the one that fronts.
Absolutely. And the deputy leader is New Zealand, and the deputy prime minister is New Zealand First. And he was prime minister for a period of time. So during that period of time, the parental leave that the prime minister took, was this a New Zealand First led government? Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it means what you mean by led. Led suggests that you hold my hand and I'll take you where I want you to go. That is not what this government is.
Mm.
And that's actually the point that we all had to figure out. That's why this is one of the only example. In the nine MMP elections, this is the only example of a truly MMP government. And that's because the Greens are here as well.
So what will you take if this goes into the next government term? We don't know what's going to happen in the elections, but say you did happen to kind of form another coalition,
sure.
Although
yeah.
You know what the polls say, and I know you're not a fan of polls, but the polls are sort of painting that Labor and Green could possibly govern on their own, and therefore New Zealand First won't be that sort of middle person, which therefore wields a lot of power, right? So what would you kind of take into the next government term?
Well, first of all, you're right about the polls because it's pointless, isn't it? Why would I worry about them? What can I do about them, right? I won't change what I believe in just because of the polls. So the only reason polls would affect you is if you create policy based off them, and I won't do that. So I'll be re-elected or not re-elected, and I'll be fine. Do you know what I mean? I had a personality and a life before this. I'll have a personality and a life after this. So I don't get overly affected by them. You're right with regard to if there was an election today and that was the outcome, then Labor and the Greens could govern together. I find it fascinating that people suggest that New Zealand First has all the power and therefore block stuff. They do realise that we all need the Green Party vote as well, don't they? So, it's really weird to me that everybody talks about New Zealand First blocking stuff, whereas actually the Green Party has the same power. And they have stopped things moving forward as well. But we don't seem to get that much coverage around that.
Not necessarily to talk about blocking things. You may all be doing that in whichever policy because you are representing your manifestos.
Groups, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So
we're not representing our manifestos. We are representing different groups. That's the difference because nobody's manifesto counts right now.
Right, because it's part of...
From the moment we signed up, right? Because we didn't sign up to each other's manifestos. We signed up to negotiation points on what we had agreed, where we were in agreement. We also had conversations about where we weren't in agreement. But nobody's manifesto was going to get 100% delivered in an MMP government. Right?
Would you call this term successful then?
Absolutely.
In what way?
Well, one, I think that what the government has done is it has demonstrated that you can actually have an MMP government where all parties can act like adults and come to tricky issues. What have we been through? We've been through a terrorist attack. We've been through a volcanic eruption. We've been through an epidemic, measles epidemic. We've been through a pandemic. I mean, and this government hasn't fallen apart. We have agreed on more things that we have disagreed on. We have continued to have hard conversations day in and day out and kept relationships going. Just because, because there are personalities in every party. So, and we've, I haven't been backward and coming forward and saying that often I get sent in to have another conversation around those hard issues with, either sitting down with James Shaw or sitting down with Jam Logie or sitting down with the Prime Minister or sitting down with Grant Robertson. Because, that's just the dimensions of different people's personalities inside of different parties. But we've done it. The country hasn't fallen over and we have delivered and changed the direction of this nation from one that decided that it's success was on how much money it could earn or bring in, the GDP, to what is the wellness of our people. So are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. There's still a way to go on how well our people are. But boy, have we changed the conversation so that well-being is now part of that conversation.
Yeah, no, I do congratulate for that. The moments that you mentioned there, so you mentioned the terrorist attack, the volcanic eruption and the epidemic and pandemic throughout a government term, those were all to some extent, you might not say actually in some communities that it was unexpected, but they were things that were not necessarily part of the plan or part of everyday life, right? And if we're talking about crises, because that's what those were, we also have crises in our health statistics or our housing crisis or our prison stats. And like you say, we're not there yet. So in terms of that, if we're measuring success based on those everyday life situations, what would you say there?
Well, I think, which one do you want to pick? Which one of those? Will you want to pick housing?
Let's go housing.
Well, sorry, which one were you going to pick?
I would say health, but we can go housing.
Okay.
That's both.
Okay.
They're interrelated.
Okay. They are interrelated. So let's just have a look at housing. Now, this government has built more social housing than any other government since the 1970s or something like that, right? So we've actually built houses. People focus on Kiwi Build, but we've actually built houses, social housing. And I can't remember the exact statistics, but Megan Woods gets up and says it all the time. That was this government, all of it, all three parties in it, okay? Nanaia Mahuta has just flown under the radar with what she's been doing with Māori housing and the refit of Māori housing and trying to make sure and a lot of effort and a lot of work has been done in that space. So again, are we there yet? I mean, no, we're not, because what we inherited was the infrastructure was so far behind the eight ball for the population that we had. And so from that perspective, that took all of us, and we have made movement in that space. If you want to take health, well, health, we've just had Heather Simpson's review, right? And what health has shown, while they've responded incredibly well to a crisis, is that overall, just as a baseline for health, the system is not working for New Zealanders. You've got postcode sort of, you know, access to health. You've got some DHBs doing incredibly well and other DHBs doing incredibly badly. You've got health outcomes that the equity between, you know, health outcomes for Māori and Pacifica compared to Pākehā and others is huge. So the system is not working, and that's why we put in Heather Simpson to do a complete review, because we know that this will take systematic change. We keep pouring money into it, but it's not changing the outcomes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but you don't change again. It's been 30 years since the last major change to the health system. It won't happen in three.
And so with because a lot of, you know, reviews have been done over the, and again, I don't want to get into the narrative, like you say, around the media kind of painting this government as doing reviews and they're not doing anything. But it is a fair question in the sense that there have been a number of reviews and often not a lot of the recommendations have been taken on board. Is this something
that's interesting. Why do you say that?
Well, the Welfare Advisory Group would be one example.
Right, okay. Well, we haven't finished yet. We had 3 years. We've had the Welfare Advisory Group. We've had that report for might be just over 12 months. We accepted the recommendations of the Welfare Advisory Group. We lifted benefits by, and it took all three parties to do that. We lifted benefits by $25 a week as soon as we could. We put in the, I mean, we've just, what's kicking in today? I've just seen a press release that came out at 5 a.m. this morning from Grant Robertson and the PM. So paid parental leave's just been extended to 26 weeks, and it's been raised by $20 more a week. We've got early childhood teachers, 17,000 more qualified teachers.
So what I'm saying, though, is still not enough, right? We're still hearing from families that it's not enough.
Yeah, yeah, and I hear it all the time that it's not enough. I hear it all the time that it's not enough. So every time we do something, some people say, that's great, but it's not enough. The reality is there isn't a money tree sitting at the back of Parliament. So there are lots of people, there are lots of groups. I was at a dementia event last night, okay? And we have a sort of a tsunami of dementia that's going to head our way. There's not enough funding into community groups and community to actually to make those communities dementia-friendly. There's not enough money in respite care at the moment. There's not enough money being invested in the workforce. There's not enough money being invested in residential care for dementia. It's one single thing that there's not enough money in.
Mm.
So, you know, this is not a country. It's more complicated, obviously, than running a household, but it still it has those restrictions. So it is around your prioritising. You do what you can, as much as you can in the moment, and have a plan to try and do more as soon as you can.
What we saw, though, during the pandemic is that there suddenly was a money tree, in a sense, right?
It's not a money tree.
But the ability to suddenly go, okay, we're gonna go all in and we're going to go hard, and now we have access to a lot more money.
So let me explain the difference between baseline spending and time-limited spending. So baseline spending, which is what we put into, so that's the, let's just say, teachers' salaries. Teachers' salaries is what you might call baseline spending. You can't just say, well, we're going to pay it for 4 years and then we're going to stop it. And then you've got time-limited spending, which says, okay, we need to invest here really quickly, but we're only going to have to invest in that for 5 years, and then we won't have to pay that bill anymore. The borrowing is for time-limited spending. We have got to invest now to do certain things to make sure that this country manages past COVID. And that's where you borrow. You borrow because you're going to have to pay it back. That's time-limited spending. We can't borrow for what is baseline. We can't borrow for teachers' salaries because we need to always be able to pay those salaries in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So that's where you have to know that you're creating that income. That's the difference. That's the difference. We cannot borrow to pay unemployment benefit or job seeker benefit. You have to be able to ensure that you can continue to pay it at that rate because you can't take that money away from people again.
Mm.
So that's the difference. That's why you can borrow for an emergency, but actually baseline, you've got to make sure you can earn that money consistently.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.